was an unusual day. My Labrador, Ingy, and I were returning home from our evening walk. It was about 6:30 at night. The full moon was rising and the light was fading. We were rushing home because Ingy gets spooked by the dark. Across the street from Lakeside Hospital, I stopped at a busy intersection and waited for the light to change. I looked down, and to my surprise, I saw this little white dog. It was the thinnest dog I have ever seen. His ribs were sticking out of his coat, and he was shaking. He couldn't stand up, and there was an ugly red gash on his left leg. Because I walk Ingy every day, I know most of the stray dogs in my neighborhood. And although they aren't as healthy as pet dogs, they're usually taken care of by people in the neighborhood. There is this magnificent golden dog, for instance, who sleeps under the bus stand just outside my building. The lady who sells buttermilk, tea, and biscuits to the mechanics from the auto garage next door to my house takes care of it. He sleeps near her trolley cart, and every evening when she pushes her trolley cart home, this dog follows her. Round the corner from where we live are two puppies, one black and one white, and they are usually together, and the night watchman of a building nearby give them food. And then there are some who we see every day, and then suddenly one day they disappear. But this white dog I had never seen, and I had certainly never seen one who to my eyes was as close to death as this dog was. I've often wondered why some people are affected by animals as much as they are and others not. I don't mean in the very superficial sense of how we all love babies and puppies and we pet them and cuddle them. I mean in a much more deeper way. For instance, if you read a news report to me about an animal suffering or killed, it really bothers me. Not so my husband. If you read a news report, I was reading to him the other day about some children, I know, drowning or something, and halfway through the news report he said, stop, I don't want to listen, I can't take it. So some people I find are rabid animal lovers and others not. And I often wonder, why is it that there is this difference? I can't come up with a reason for it. Maybe it has to do with reincarnation. I wonder if I was an animal in a previous birth, and that's why I have this connection to animals. So anyway, this dog really bothered me. What bothered me was that he was resigned. He wasn't trying. He looked like he was going to die, and he didn't care. He couldn't stand, he couldn't move, and he was lying next to this lamppost. You could barely see him, and he was so thin. So Ingy and I crossed the road, and we walked home, and I was wondering what I should do. I wondered if I should call CUPA, the animal service, but we've done that before. My daughter routinely calls CUPA. My 9-year-old Malini is very bothered by stray dogs, and she calls CUPA, asking them to rescue something, some one or the other. And then they're still there. I mean, the next day we go, the dog is still there. So that's pretty ineffective. And then I hear all these news reports about stray dogs and rabid dogs biting people. So I'm a little nervous as well as I walk home. And I'm thinking, you know, what am I doing? What should I do? So I go home and I leave Ingy at home. The kids are downstairs playing and I have 15 minutes of light left. So I go to the kitchen and there's a few chapatis left over from lunch. And I find a takeaway container and I fill it with water and a little bit of milk, dilute milk. And I pack some chapatis in the plastic bag and I find myself walking back. Philosophers talk about the difference between fulfillment and meaning in life. Human beings need to be fulfilled and they need to find meaning in life. Both are important. But philosophers make a distinction. They say fulfillment has to do with projects and efficiency and career and a job well done. you learn to play something, you learn to play an instrument, you get better at it, and it's fulfilling. You finish a project, it's fulfilling. You get a job, you do a job well, and it's fulfilling. A promotion is fulfilling. To find meaning in life is something different. It's somehow deeper and more profound. And philosophers say that the meaning of life has to do with connection, the connection you have with other people, the love you have for them and that they have for you. It has to do with giving. Almost everyone I read in philosophy talks about giving as a way of finding meaning in life. And I feel that too. I've experienced that too. Random acts of kindness are very, and I wouldn't say they're fulfilling, but they're very meaningful. I'll never forget this beggar I met about 2 years ago. We were parked on Brigade, just before Brigade Road at the light, and all around me were cars, and the beggars were going around knocking on the car windows and doing what they do, asking for money. And I didn't have coins in the car that day. So I rolled down the window and I gave her a chilled bottle of water. And I didn't think very much of it because in my view, I didn't have money, so I was giving her water. But I'll never forget her smile. It was so great. It was a hot day and she didn't expect the water, and it was a nice big bottle of ice cold water, and she was thrilled. And I think the fact that I still remember it 2 years from when it happened, it must have been meaningful. And my friend Gauri, she buys biscuits in bulk to give to beggars, and I imagine that's very meaningful as well. And I find that random acts of kindness are very meaningful. So I'm walking back to the intersection carrying this chapati and water. And the dog is still there. I'm waiting at the light. There's a policeman behind me, and the airport buses are all going by. The light changes, I walk by, and the dog looks at me. And the worst part is that his eyes are resigned. He has no will to live. He doesn't care. So I place the water and the diluted milk in the compound wall, and I cut up the pieces of chapati. And I'm thinking, is this a good idea for a dog this week? Should I have brought some rice? It would have been easier to eat. And am I doing the right thing? What if it bites me? But I'm a little confident that he won't, because he's just too weak. He looks too weak. So I place the water next to the dog, and I place the plastic sheet with chapatis and a little bit of rajma. And I wait. And for a while, he doesn't do anything. He just has his tongue out and he's panting and he's looking at me. He glances at the food and he doesn't move. And I'm thinking, is this a futile exercise? And then slowly he stands up and he can barely stand up. His whole body is shaking. It's painful to watch. And then he noses around and he's shaking all the time. And then he starts drinking the water. And I've never seen a dog drink so much water at one time. Dogs usually don't drink water all in one shot. They take several sips and then they walk away and then they come back and they take a few more sips. And this dog didn't even look at the food. It was dehydrated. It needed the water. So it drank pretty much the whole container. And then it didn't eat my food. It just goes around. It just walks a few steps where somebody has thrown a few pieces of bread on the road. And it's nosing around and it's eating that bread. I'm thinking, is this his morning, is this his evening ritual? Is that what he eats? Why isn't he eating my chapatis, the fresh ones? So he's eating it, and then he doesn't come back. He lies down a few yards away, near the compound wall. People pass by, people are walking by, and they can barely see the dog because it's so tiny. So then I move the plastic plate. By now I'm emboldened. I know he won't do anything. He won't bite me or hurt me. So pick up this plastic sheet with chapati and I move it near the dog and I place the water, and again he drinks the water. And then slowly he starts eating the chapatis. And I find that when I move away, he's emboldened and he eats some more. So I stand a few yards away and watch this dog eat the chapatis. And then I wait for the light to cross. And I walk home. I hope I'll see him tomorrow, and if I do, I'll name him. Thanks for listening.